Today we're going to talk about some basic needs that our husbands have. And you're probably honestly not going to learn anything new or anything like, you know, mind-blowing, anything that you haven't heard already. But if you're like me, I need reminders about things that I need to do as a wife. And so I always like to go to sessions on being a wife and being a mother because I need refreshers. I wrote out all my notes, so if I glance down, I apologize, but I tend to lose track, so I don't want to repeat myself or ramble on. But it's always good to step back and take a look at our relationships, really in all areas of our lives, but today we're going to be talking about marriage, so specifically the husband and wife relationship. It's good to evaluate how you're doing as a wife and maybe some things that I need to change in my life, what I could be doing better to make my marriage fresh and exciting. So today, as we learn about these needs that our husbands have, we're going to also learn about a right response to that need. So we're going to learn about basic needs, and then we're going to learn about a right response that we should have to that need that our husband has. Why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Jesus, thank you for today, and thank you for all this time that we have together, Lord. I pray that you will just clear my mind and be with each lady who's speaking and calm everybody's hearts and help us to say only what you want us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, I'm going to kind of go pretty quick. Number one, men need respect. And respect, one of the definitions of respect is adoration, to adore. It's to adore, to appreciate, to awe, to show consideration, deference, courtesy, to show favor, honor, obey, recognition, regard, reverence. So all of those things kind of sum up respect, what respect is. Do you remember when you were dating and you really, I know I just adored my husband, you know, and it was so everything. He, you know, played basketball and soccer and I was a cheerleader and it was so fun, you know, to cheer him on and everything he did was just awesome to me. I just thought it was so neat and I adored him. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get married and, you know, you have children and you're busy and work and kids go to school and people, you know, you all get sick, right? How many of you have had the flu that's going around? Oh my goodness. And you get sick and then you just kind of get into a rut and you tend to forget to do those things or maybe to adore him like you used to do. So number one, men need respect. As women, we like to feel loved and cherished. That, when my husband shows that he loves me or does something special for me, I feel, oh wow, he loves me. He cherishes me, and that's how we like to feel. But men, they want to be respected. To not trust our husbands means that we're disrespecting them. We need to give them unconditional respect. You know, I've heard ladies say, or I at times have felt this way. You know, well, you know, he's not. I don't need to show him respect because what he did, you know, wasn't very smart. Or, you know, I would not have done it that way. That was not the right way to do that. I do not respect that. But when we, the Bible doesn't tell us to respect unconditionally. I mean, conditionally, it tells us to respect unconditionally, no matter what. That's how Jesus loves us, unconditionally. We live in a love-dominated culture. Love must be unconditional. Respect must be earned. We're told, you know, they need to earn respect. And that's not true. That's not biblical. In marriage, in Ephesians 5, it tells us, it says in Ephesians 5, that husbands love, wives respect or reverence your husband. Ephesians 5:33 says, it has instructions really in this verse for both the husband and the wife. And it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And then it says, our instructions, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we need to do our part. We need to reverence and respect, even if he's not doing his part. We are still commanded to show respect and give that to our husbands. try not to, we all have made the mistake of keeping score. You know, well, he did this, so I am not going to, you know, do this. Or, you know, he acted this way, so I'm going to act this way. And that's just not biblical. That's not how we are supposed to respond as a wife. Men get beaten down, and they feel unworthy of respect. I don't know that they would always admit that, you know, because men do have egos. But when we give it to them, when we give them that unconditional respect, they try to rise to the occasion. And when they see that you are showing respect, when your husband sees that, he tries to be a better man because of that. Sometimes men seem so confident, but really in reality, they do have fragile egos. You know, when my boys were little, they always wanted, you know, look, Mom, watch me do this. You know, watch me to shoot hoops. Chad, our little 2.5-year-old grandson, I mean, he actually plays basketball really well for a 2.5-year-old, but he can make little baskets. But he always says, watch Nana, watch Nana. And, you know, you cheer him on. But from little, you know, it seems like boys just always want that. Watch me, watch me. They have little egos. And I don't really think that they grow out of that. A man's heart is powerfully touched by a few simple words. I'm so proud of you. So think about the last time you said that to your husband, that you told him you're proud of him for something. We as women like to hear, I love you. You know, I like it when my husband tells me he loves me. I want him to tell me that he loves me. But for some reason, I don't think it's as easy as a wife. It's easy for me to say I love you to my husband. And he likes that, but he loves it when I tell him I'm proud of him for something. That's just built into a man's ego. And we need to do that. So stop and think about the last time that you said that to your husband. When did you tell him you were proud of him? And what was it for? So when you say that, it touches your husband's heart. I'm so proud of you. I trust you. That he realizes, wow, you know, she loves, she trusts me, she respects me. We tend to think, well, he hasn't earned it, you know. I mean, look at him over there. But honestly, it's a paradox because the same way that Jesus came and he died for us, we didn't earn that and we didn't deserve that. We certainly didn't deserve that. And he didn't say we have to be worthy of that love. He just came and he loved us and he died for us and he loves us unconditionally, and that's how we are as wives to love our husbands. When we tell them that we're proud of them, then they kind of want to aim to do better. They want to be a better person. I know, you know, when my husband says, you know, wow, you did a great job at this, or, you know, thank you for doing this, or, you know, you've done a great job with organizing this closet or whatever. It makes me want to do more. Or, wow, he, you know, have you ever done something like a big project or something and he doesn't even notice? You know, maybe you've cleaned out your whole kitchen cabinets and, you know, you want people to notice because you spent, you know, 6 hours doing this task. And if nobody notices, it's kind of like, oh, man. But when my husband notices what I've done, it makes me want to do more just to make our house a better place. In Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Are you his number one helper? Or are you his major source of stress? I don't want to be that. I know we all are at times. You know, maybe we're stressed out about things, or we can tend to nag about this that he hasn't done around the house, or, you know, he goes to work and does everything, but then he comes home and maybe we have this whole list that we need him to do just some things, and we can tend to nag about that. I don't want to be that source of stress or you know, that constant nag. So try to remember to be his number one helper, and because you're the only helper that God gave him. You're the only one who can help him like he's intended to be helped. Think of this. At work, men are usually typically respected for the most part. So if he goes to work, you know, and everybody's respecting him and, you know, telling him what a good job he's doing, or, you know, and, you know, women at the workplace or, you know, secretaries or whatever, you know, you're doing a good job at this and thank you for this. And then if he comes home and he, you know, my husband just hears me say, oh, you know, why were you gone so long? Or, you know, you're worked too much, or, you know, this needs to be done. And I'm not at all helping him or showing him that respect. That's not good. That's not good that he's getting respect out of the home more than he's getting it in the home. he'll begin to feel that he can't do anything right. And then sometimes when that happens, a man can tend to work more because it's more enjoyable to be at work and get the respect that he really deserves than to be at home and not get that. So the wrong response for us as wives is to make him try to earn our respect. We don't want to do that because that's not biblical. Jesus loves us unconditionally, and that's how we're supposed to love our husbands. Now, I'm not talking about any extreme circumstances. I'm just talking the basic husband-wife relationship. I understand there's extreme circumstances and there are things that you need to, you know, go to your pastor and his wife with. But in general, let me say this. Respect captures a man's heart. And think about that. Respect captures his heart. I want to be the one to capture my husband's heart. I don't want someone else to capture his heart. So don't you want to be that one to capture his heart? And really, it's simple. You just have to respect him and show him how proud you are of him. And it's really pretty simple, but sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? It's just not always easy because, you know, I know I can always tend to look at the negative instead of the positive and the good things. You can start showing your husband the proper respect by apologizing. If you need to apologize, apologize. There are times where I have had to go back and say, okay, I'm sorry I acted this way, or I'm sorry I said this, I'm sorry I, you know, have given you the silent treatment for whatever reason. And sometimes we do need to apologize, and then that can maybe wipe the slate clean and we could start over. So the right response to that basic need that our husbands have, respect, it's such a key. There's a book called Love and Respect, and we studied that in one of our Sunday school classes, and it is an amazing book. And, you know, it's pretty simple. I like books that are simple, and they give you things that you can do that are easy. But it talks about how much men need that respect. And so the right response to that need is to give unconditional respect and reverence that God commands us to give, and then watch God bless your relationship. When I do what I'm supposed to do as a wife, you know, regardless of what my husband does, when I do what I'm supposed to do, and I am kind and I am loving and I tell him how proud I am of him and I show that respect, it usually makes him a better person. And then in turn, he tells me how much he loves me, and it's kind of like this cycle that if I show and give, he shows and gives. It just kind of happens that way. So the right response is to give unconditional respect and reverence that God commands and watch God bless that. Number two, men are insecure. I don't think they would probably like to admit that, but they are insecure. Men are hard on themselves, and they feel that others judge them by your happiness and your respect level. I have heard a lot of wives, you know, disrespect or say mean things about their husband, or, you know, yeah, you know, he's always this way. And I understand there's a time for counsel and things like that. But I remember when I was in college, I had a teacher, and she would tell us girls, she would say, you know, when you get married, you need to love your husband and not talk bad about him, you know, at the hair salon, or when you get your nails done, or when you go out with your a night with your girlfriends or whatever. Don't talk bad about your husband, because that's going to make them think less of him, and maybe whatever you were dealing with, you were bugged at him about, you're going to get over. And she would tell us too, this teacher would say, don't call your mom with all of your problems. You know, every fight that you have with your husband and every little argument that you have, don't call your parents, because, you know, in reality, I'm going to get over that. You know, maybe it's going to take me a day. Maybe it's going to take me 2 hours. Maybe it's going to take me 2 days. But I will get over it, and I will love my husband. But a parent has a harder time getting over something that is done to their child. So this lady would always tell us, don't call your parents with every little disagreement that you have, because that's only hurting his reputation. So if you tell your friends all your problems or things that your husband does that you think is dumb, then especially if he finds out, that will make him more insecure. Affirmation is everything. Flattery is a poor substitute, but true affirmation is everything. He needs our emotional support and our encouragement. He needs to know my husband needs to know that I love him and that I am his biggest cheerleader, I'm his best encourager, and that I truly am proud of what he does. He needs to know that from me. So I wrote down this, you be that environment for him. Give him that environment of just affirmation and love and respect. The male ego is a fragile thing. And it's a cover-up for really the insecurity that's deep within. Sometimes, you know, a man can act like nothing bothers him, but deep down it really does bother him, and it's really hurtful. Maybe the things that I say or that I do, and it's very hurtful inside. So we have to be very careful of that. Your home and your arms are the most important place for your husband to be affirmed and acknowledged. Your home and your arms are the most important place that he can be. A man can conquer the world if he feels that his wife unconditionally supports him. When we lived in California for 22 years, and my husband was wrestling with the call to pastor, and I knew it. I didn't say anything to him because I wanted him to figure it out for himself. If that's what God is calling him to do, I wanted God to tell him. I was surrendered. I knew that something was happening. I didn't know what it was, but I'll never forget. He said to me, he was telling me all that God was dealing in his heart, and he said, "I'm not a pastor. I'm a youth pastor, you know. And I, you know, I can lead teams of people, but I am not a pastor. I cannot do that." And he reminded me of this recently, and I don't even remember all the exact words that I said, but he remembers because it made an impact on him. I said to him, "You know what? God is working in my heart, and I know that wherever you go, wherever God calls us, we're going to be okay. And if God calls you to pastor, then I know you can do it. I've heard you preach. I love your preaching, and I know you can do it. The kids are behind you. I'm behind you. And if God is calling you, he's going to enable you to be able to do that." And it kind of threw him back because I was kind of his excuse to want to stay in our comfort zone. He just didn't think he could do it. But when I told him, "No, you're a great leader. You're a great preacher. You can do this." When I said those words to him, it just rung in it. I just stayed in his head, and he believe that I felt that way, I guess, and it kind of gave him the courage to go forward and follow God. Just me believing in him that he could do something just kind of breathes life into him. And our husbands are that way; they need that support. You know, like I said, you know, if you've ever, you know, watched your husband play sports or, I don't know, work on a car or whatever his hobby is, and you've complimented him, you know, they like that. They like us to notice what they're doing or what a good job they're doing on whatever hobby they have. One book I read said that this concept is about sending the man that we love every day into a world where he believes that he can slay dragons. I want my husband to know that I believe in him and that I think he can do it. You know, maybe it's a hard journey that we're going to go through, or it's a hard job. But if our husbands know that we believe in them, they can really do anything. If you're his number one fan, you're the partner that God chose for him. So when you believe in him, you just breathe that life into him. Nobody can breathe confidence, strength, determination, and courage into your husband's heart like you can. And we also have the ability to suck the life right out of him too. You know, maybe people are telling him he's doing a good job, but he comes home and if I tell him, "Oh wow, you know, that was terrible," or, you know, or "How he can't do this, you're gonna try to do that?" You know, just in the tone or the words that we say, we can suck that life right out. So just like we have the ability to breathe life into him, we can also suck it right out. So the right response to that insecurity is constantly affirm your husband and tell him of your confidence in him. It's so important. Make your home his haven. You know, no matter what happens that day at work or wherever, when he comes home, I want our home to be a place that's good for him to be home. I want him to want to come home. I want to make it a haven, a happy place. when we first moved here, we came from California, you know, the land of sunshine all the time, just about. And so I had the super cool idea. It was really trendy, and I wanted to paint our house here that we moved into gray, like shades of gray. We had our house like in tans and taupes in California, so we're making a life change. I want it to be totally different. So we did. We picked three shades of gray, and the darkest one was like charcoal black in my dining room. It actually was gorgeous. I know it sounds kind of hideous, but it was gorgeous. And then I just had two shades lighter. So it was not even as light as my tights. All of our whole entire house was darker shades of gray. It was gorgeous. It really was beautiful, and everybody thought it was beautiful. But what I discovered after living here, and, you know, we don't have all the sunshine that we didn't get to bring all of our California sunshine with us, and I discovered that kind of affected our home, because, you know, it would be cloudy outside, and we'd come into our house, and although, you know, we loved the way it was decorated, I could see it affect, like, my daughter and my husband's, just their spirit and demeanor. Just not like everybody's super mopey, but I watched as, wow, he's not quite as happy-go-lucky as he always was. And it truly, honestly, was you're outside in the gray, and then we would come into the gray. So we couldn't even escape it. So our home was nice, but it wasn't that haven of hominess and comfort that it always had been. So a couple years after we'd been here, took me a while to figure that out. So I figured it out, and then I slowly painted each room of our house different, a cream color, and it truly made a difference in our home. But I want our home to be a haven, a place that, you know, my family enjoys coming home to. But there was that season of time here. Although we loved being here, it took us a while to figure out, wow, you know, it's gray outside, it's gray inside. You know, we've got to figure out how to lighten up our home. Make your home his haven. Number two, men are providers. Your husband is compelled to be a provider for you. It's really, you know, for most men, it's built into them. You know, It is their job to provide for us. Now, I understand, you know, a lot of women work and share that load, and that is important, and each home is different, and everybody works that out in their own home. But your husband wants to be your provider. It's really a part of his identity. I've watched maybe men lose their jobs and go through a time. It's a very insecure time, especially if they can't find a job right away, because it's very hard for them, because they want to be that provider for their family and they want to take care of their family, and it can be a very difficult time. Your husband feels powerful when he provides for you, and we need to, as wives, thank him for that. Thank our husbands for that. More importantly, this is a primary way that he expresses love. Now, you know, I mean, he may not always say, I love you all the time, but really, you know, getting up, going to work, you know, coming home and doing that same routine is love. It really, truly is love for you and for your family. So do you see this as love? Your husband does. He just kind of automatically thinks, you know, she knows I love her because I go to work and I take care of my family. But sometimes we as wives maybe, you know, don't always remember that is him showing love for us. It's important that we remember that. Providing means there's an ongoing burden and a never-ending risk of failure. And that's a scary thing. Failure is not fun. Whether it's job transition or losing a job, whatever it is, that risk of failure is always there, and it weighs on a man. So I know, you know, we share the burden in our home, but my husband has the bigger burden of caring for us and taking care of us. And our husbands carry a bigger burden overall for the family in general. Women don't live with this burden as much, but every day our husband carries that burden of financial, you know, providing, you know, food, school, clothes, you know, when you have kids. That adds a whole new burden to our lives. When we had a blessing, children are a blessing, but it's also, you know, financial and all these things. And our husband carries that weight. Sometimes we forget to say thank you for the obvious. Maybe it's paying the bills. You know, I don't always think to thank him for paying the bills. You know, it's just something I do. is. You know, he takes care of that, and he does that. I need to remember, I should maybe say thank you for that sometimes. Just for even letting me go to the grocery store and, you know, getting food for our family. Some families struggle with that. And the fact that our husbands provide and us with the money to do that is, and I understand, you know, a lot of you work too, and you're chipping in and carrying that burden also. But, you know, do you buy makeup, clothes for your kids, shoes for your kids? Oh my goodness, don't they outgrow shoes like in 2 weeks after you buy them? It's crazy. But just those little things. Does your husband go to church with you? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But if he does, thank him for that. Because not every wife has a husband that attends church and loves God and goes to church. So if your husband is one of those men that takes his family to church, thank him for that. Because that is an important thing. So the right response to that is to thank him every day for providing and let him know that he's doing a good job. Now, realistically, I understand. I don't always thank my husband every day. I should, and I need to remember to more. And in studying for this, I think, oh, wow, I need to get better at that. I need to get better at this. Wow, I haven't done that in a while. But we need to remember as often as we can to thank our husbands just for the big things, yes, but the little things too. Number four, men need physical intimacy. And I'll go quickly through this one, but my husband said, you can't skip over that one. That one is important. So I thought, okay. I know this is no surprise to anybody. We as women tend to think of it as a physical need. I know, it is a physical need for a man. To us women, sometimes sleep, just sleeping is a physical need. I love to sleep. Do you guys like to sleep? Does anybody like to sleep? on the days like where there's a snow day or a day off school, it's so nice to, you know, maybe get to sleep in just a little bit extra. Sleep is a physical need, but so is intimacy in marriage. Physical intimacy is more to a man. It's not just a physical, but it is also him feeling desired by you. When you're tired and you always say no, sometimes he thinks, maybe I'm just not desirable and she doesn't love me. It's an emotional need that your husband has. It's not only physical, it's emotional also. It's more than just the physical, it's emotional. He wants to know that you love and desire him like he does you. Know that you are responding to a tender heart behind all that testosterone. He really has a tender heart. And men, like I said, they have fragile egos. You know, they can get hurt in this area if they're rejected a lot. So your husband longs to feel wanted and desired by you. If he feels that he's not desired, he takes that as a huge rejection. It's just, he feels rejected. And he may not say all these things, but that's how he feels inside. He can feel hurt by that. So when in reality, maybe it's not that I'm not rejecting him. It's not that I don't love him or anything like that. In reality, maybe it's you've had a hard day with the kids. You know, you're tired. You got up early and, you know, you've dealt with sick kids. You've dealt with homework. You've dealt with ball practices. You know, all these things. And you've been driving, grocery shopping and doing all these things, cooking dinner, cleaning, and it's all endless. So you don't see it that way. You're tired. You're truly tired. So in those times, even reaching to hold his hand, just touch him, rub his shoulders, give him a hug, kiss him, walk arm in arm, even those things, men need to feel that affection. I know we like it. Like, I love it when my husband holds my hand or puts his arm around me. I love that. But our husbands love that too when we're initializing holding his hand. When I reach out and hold his hand in the car, that's me reaching out to him, and our husbands need that. Your husband finds you irresistible and longs for you to feel that way towards him. If you're only responding because you have to, then in a way, they can still see that as rejection. It can lead to him having a sense of depression and being beaten down, and that's kind of the ultimate rejection to him. So I'm not sure if this was in the Love and Respect book or if it's in a different marriage book that I read, but a man said in this book that he can have a terrible day and everything else goes wrong. It's an awful day. The kids can be disobedient. The house can be a wreck. But if he knows that he's desired by his wife, then he can conquer anything, no problem. So think about it. This is an enormous gift that only you can give your husband. God, you know, we got married, you know, husband and wife, and that's how God wants it. And I know I want my husband to only desire me, but I also have to show that back to him. So we are the only ones as his wife that can give that gift to our husbands. So it's a sense of confidence in his life that only you as his wife can provide for him. And that's awesome when you think about it that way, that you're the only one who can give this gift to him. So it's important that he feels wanted and desired by you. It's very important. We don't realize how central this is to a man and the core of their being. It's kind of just how God created them. And, you know, we can't blame him for that. You know, when you're driving, you see magazines and billboards all the time and pictures of ladies and, you know, and they're sending this message, you know, I want you, or how desirable, you know, they have that look in their eye. Men want to be wanted, and your husband needs to feel that way by you. So the right response to that is be physical as often as you possibly can, whether it's holding his hand, kissing him, whatever. Give your whole heart to it and be sensitive when you can't. So number five, men are visual. This kind of goes along with that. It's something, you know, sometimes it's a harder thing for a woman to understand. What does that mean? You know, a man, you know, they're more attracted by sight. Ladies are more attracted by touch. So for a man who is committed to setting his mind on things of the Lord, there are environments that are exhausting for men. You know, like the grocery store can be. I know when my boys were, you know, young and then teenagers, I would, you know, if they go to the store with me, I would always get, you know, in the aisle ahead, and I would turn this magazine over, that magazine over, put this magazine over that, and this over that, and this over that, and be done. Now, you can't always protect, you know, I always tried to protect my children. Now, you know, obviously there comes a time where those children are going to the grocery store and places by themselves, and it was kind of fun to watch my boys as teenagers and then, you know, young men. We'd go to the grocery store and, you know, you can't always do that, you know, but watch them turn away or watch them, you know, you can train them to do that. But that can be an exhausting environment for a man always, you know, trying to, you know, guard his heart and his eyes. So I lost my spot here. So being in certain environments can be mentally exhausting as he consciously tries to protect his eyes and his thoughts, and keep them only for you. So, you know, there's a difference between, like, seeing something accidentally and then noticing and looking, choosing to dwell on. A Christian man in our culture is constantly bombarded with sexual imagery, and this presents a daily battle. And we, as his wife, we should help him and make that battle less significant for him. So the more your husband sees you and experiences you, the less of a battle he'll have when he's away from you. So if he travels or at work or whatever, you know, you want to fulfill that need that your husband. So fill your husband's eyes with you. Linger, let him enjoy you. Be thankful that he has reserved his eyes and his body and his heart for you. So the right response is fill your husband's eyes with you. Number six, men are romantically clumsy. And everybody laughs. some men are naturally romantic, I guess, but most men are romantically clumsy. Most men desperately want to be romantic with their wives and have romance in their lives, but they kind of don't know how, or they feel clumsy about it. They're unsure. They're maybe afraid of being made fun of by us. So look for the tender heart that's behind maybe his clumsy efforts, you know. Maybe everything is a flop, but he tried, you know. So thank him and tell him how awesome he was for this. Maybe it didn't turn out exactly like he planned or exactly like you would have wanted it to, but let him know, wow, that was really neat that you made that effort. We have a funny story. We hadn't been married. I think we had boys, and my husband loves music, like, you know, orchestras and, I don't know, stuff like that. I don't, as you can probably tell. So Chris Adams, you will know, remember the Hollywood Bowl? Okay, so we live about an hour or whatever from Hollywood, and it had this big bowl-shaped dome, and like orchestras would come and play, and it was really neat. And I forget, there's some famous, I can't remember, because I'm not into all that, but a famous orchestra that people love to hear came. And okay, so my husband didn't tell me we were going to the orchestra. He told me he got a babysitter, which was super cool, because isn't it a pain sometimes to have to line up babysitters? It's hard sometimes, you know, making all these phone calls and lining it up and this and that. Okay, he had done all that work, which was awesome. And then he told me, you know, we are going on this romantic date. I have it all planned. It's going to be awesome, you're gonna love it. You know, we're gonna be gone, you know, till late at night, and it is gonna be awesome. It's gonna be romantic, you're gonna love it. Okay, so in my mind, he didn't tell me what we were doing. So in my mind, romantic is, wow, we're even going to go. I knew we were going to somewhere like LA or somewhere, because in the desert where we live, there wasn't too many romantic places to go to. Chris was there. So we would always go down to LA or you know, Santa Monica, places like that. And we would drive a long time to go to dinner and have a good time. So out, you know, just the two of us. So I knew we were going to be going down somewhere fun. But in my mind, I'm thinking we're either going to go have a nice dinner, or kind of what he had hinted at was maybe we were going to have a picnic. Or so I thought, because I did see a picnic basket in the back. So I thought we were going to have a picnic on the beach. I love the beach. It's my favorite. So I'm thinking, wow, he has planned. We're going to go down to Santa Monica. We're going to walk on the beach. We're going to sit and have a picnic and drink sparkling cider and maybe go on the pier and ride the rides. And it's going to be so amazing. And so that's what I had in my head. And so the whole way down, that's what I'm thinking. So then I'm realizing, okay, we're in Hollywood. Okay. You know, then I realize there's this long line of cars and all these people walking up the hill, and I realize where we are. And he said, have you guessed? You know what we're going to do? And I said, no, you know. He said, come on, just try to guess. He's really bad at keeping secrets. I'm really good at keeping secrets. He's bad. And I said, I don't know. Are we going to the beach? And he said, no. And then he said, we're going to the Hollywood Bowl. And we're going to hear, I don't remember what the famous people were. It was an orchestra. I don't know. And I don't like orchestra. And he's like, I got us tickets. You know, and it is, I guess if you enjoy that, it is under the stars. That is kind of cool. You're under the stars and, you know, that part's cool, but I hate that music. I just, it's not my thing. So I said, oh. And he could tell as soon as he said it and by the expression on my face that it was a flop. He said, but I brought food, you know, we're going to have a picnic, and, you know, that's going to be so cool. So I really tried to have a good attitude, you know, I tried not to, but my face showed it all over my face, you know, because it's not what I enjoy. So I was so desperately disappointed, and I didn't react, you know, oh, thank you for this awesome plan that you did. I didn't react that way. I was more like, okay. So we walked up this hill, and we didn't even get to sit and have a picnic on the ground. We kind of had to eat it in our seats, and it, you know, we listened to all this big band orchestra play for like 42 hours. And then my big pet peeve with those is they go off the stage, everybody claps, and then everybody stands and says, encore. And I'm saying, no, no, no. And then they come out. And they do that like three times when you go there. They literally do the encore thing like three times. And every time I'm dying because I just can't hardly stand it. But anyways, we laugh about it now. But we just had two totally different ideas of what would be a romantic evening. So we joke about that. But don't react like I did. Try to see the effort that he put into, even if it's not what you would have dreamed of. So romance are two different things. Men see intimacy as a part of romance. They don't always separate the two. So romantic evenings, you know, sometimes it leads to something after in his mind. And, you know, sometimes in our mind, it doesn't lead up to that because you come home and then the kids are awake and, you know, all these things. So the right response to that is recognize your husband's efforts to be romantic and see the tender heart behind those efforts that he has. Because he really does have a tender heart, and he's really trying to help you and do something nice for you. You know, maybe it's not what you would have chosen. But see and praise his efforts. 7, men care about appearance. Now, I say that, and, you know, don't shudder. It's not, as soon as I say it, I want to quickly say they don't expect perfection. Our husbands don't expect us to be perfect, and none of us are perfect. And every lady is highly sensitive about this. We have a culture that tells us we have to be perfect, you know, and they have all these airbrushed people, and they're not even real. Our husbands don't expect that. They don't expect us to be perfect. And I know my husband he wishes I wasn't so sensitive about, you know, gaining 5 or 8 pounds, you know. But when I do, I'm miserable. And my attitude can reflect that. So the devil tries to use our insecurities to make us less than adventurous because we're being insecure. So our husbands don't need for us to be a size 3 or a size 0. They just need to see that we're making an effort to care about ourselves. That's all that our husbands want. I know for me, when I don't feel good about myself, it shows really almost in every area of my life. My husband knows. He can tell. And this happens to me almost every holiday time because I get hooked on sugar. I love sugar. I'm like a candy person. But when I eat too much sugar, it just sticks with me, you know, and I gain 5 pounds here and 5 pounds here, and then I am miserable. And it just shows in my whole attitude just of everything that I do. And so I've asked my husband, you know, help me, you know, we have this elliptical. And so I've told him, can you help me, you know, don't browbeat me, but ask me, you know, how are you doing with that? And so I have told him, you know, I'm trying to track everything I eat because if I don't, then I just get hooked on junk. And that's just me personally. I'm not super disciplined, so I have to really be careful. Otherwise, I get hooked on all the bad stuff. But I've asked him to help me. And our husbands, they'll help you if you ask him to. And so I've asked my husband to help me, keep me accountable. How am I doing on my sugar? You know, I'll go hide in the pantry, eat all this candy, I'll eat all the licorice and it's all gone. And it's like it never happened except for, you know, it stays with me forever. But anyways, when you take care of yourself, you're saying, I love you and I want you to have eyes for me. So ask your husband what matters to him. You know, does he like your hairstyle, the way you wear your makeup, perfume? You know, I used to have this perfume that he absolutely hated and I didn't know it until he told me. So just make an effort, and then the results will be the byproduct. So don't let the lie of the devil make you aim for perfection and focus on the negative, because that's what he does to every one of us. Accept how God made you and do the best you can and take care of God's temple. And the right response to that is take care of yourself starting today and begin making an effort in areas that will take time. You know, eating healthy, in the holidays, I go downhill, and right now I'm on a track. Okay, I'm trying to be, now I will eat a cupcake downstairs. I'm talking about, I get hooked on junk, and so I'm trying to be much more careful with that and be a better steward of that. So in conclusion, there's a book that I recommend, Love and Respect by Dr. Egerich, I think that's how you say it. It's a very good book. He talks about a thing called the crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts, meaning the wife, and without respect, he reacts, and then it kind of goes in a circle, you know, I'm not going to show respect, you know, because he doesn't love me, and it's this whole crazy circle. So stop the crazy cycle. Give your husband the respect and reverence that the Bible commands that you give, and then watch God bless your marriage. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today, and I pray that you will bless dinner, and thank you for this great weather that we're having. In Jesus' name, amen.